Yeah. Amen. The Bible says everybody's important in the family of God. Amen. So we just thank God for all you. Can you all just give yourself a hand praise? For coming this morning, can't be in church because of some whatever it might be, but God has been good to you. Amen. We thank God for my wife. Amen. The life, health, and strength. And look good in all our white. I know. White be messy. I'm going to tell you, white be messy. Be helped, but nevertheless, I won't go there. Amen. We just bless the Lord. We thank God for that. We just thank God for everyone, the musicians, elder ministers. We thank God for all of you. How many really believe that your help is on the way? I said, how many believe your help is on the way? Amen. I listen to Sister Peter's testimony. All of them are good. But when you are at the point of death, they don't know if you're going to make it or not. I said, when you're at the point of death, and you don't which will be coming out of Psalms 22, the 22nd division of Psalms. Amen. The 22nd division of Psalms. And for the sake of time, we're just going to read verses 1 through 3 now. We'll read a little further later. Amen. I got a praise. Yes. Anybody got a praise? Amen. Of the 22nd division of Psalm 22. Do we all have it?
Yes.
For those who do not have it, it is on the screen. First one reads, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my Lord? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for being in the house of prayer. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, for being just a keeper. Lord, we thank you this morning that we're saved and we have a right mind. We just say thank you. The Lord is Lord, you know every need that exists within the congregation, even before we ask. But we ask you to send a word. Lord, send a word of anointing. Lord, send the Spirit of God. Lord, meet needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, give us a mind, hallelujah, in this position to decrease, so that you might increase. Lord, we ask you to bless. And for this, we thank you. We can all say in Jesus' name. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for all that he's doing. We thank God that the scripture said that I have not seen, that ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Does anybody love the Lord? Give God a wave off. If you love God, just give him a wave off. When you have the assurance of God that if he loves you, love him, he has some stuff prepared that you haven't even seen yet. Amen. But you gotta believe. Now I'm gonna ask Sister Gill, can you put that slide back up for me? I wanna, how many of us can really put this slide to effect? The slide said, don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Now the thing about faith, God didn't say when, he just said he'd do it. I said, God didn't say when, but he said he will do it. They sing the song, say, hold on and be strong, because your help is on the way. So how many of us have planted some stuff in faith? Because it didn't happen like we thought it would happen, we have turned to doubt. Amen? Think about that. How many of us have planted some stuff in faith, but because it hasn't come to fruition, it has not materialized yet, we are now doubting. Amen? Is there any of us this morning? We planted some stuff in faith, but we're doubting. God never changes. And listen, if God has spoken in your spirit, and God has made you a promise, don't listen to the lawyer, don't listen to the doctor, don't listen to the experts in their field, because if you listen to them and you plant it in faith, they will make you doubt. Somebody said, the experts, if they said it, how many know that God exceeds every expert? How many know that God, the Bible says, he's able to do abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask for? If you can ask it, God will exceed it. If you can think it, God will exceed it. Amen. Jesus said, is there anything that I cannot do? He said, now with all of those that are experts, it's impossible. But with me, he said, all things are. So I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. You planted some stuff in faith, but it has not materialized like you think it should. So now you're digging it up in doubt. Amen. Whoever plants a garden? Anybody ever plant a garden? Boy, everybody's planting something at one time. If you don't plant a garden, you plant a flower. Right? And if that flower, if you plant it today and it don't grow tomorrow, you don't go and dig that up, do you? Right? And then sometimes you plant it and you don't have enough of a rainy season, so it comes up slow, but it's growing. You don't go dig it up because you see it is what? Growing. Well, the Bible says the path of the just is like a shining light. It shines more and more into the. So don't doubt. You planted it in faith. And years ago, God, in our, one of our messages, God has three answers to prayer. The first answer is yes. The other answer could be no. And the third is neither yes or no, but God could be telling you not yet. So there's some things that we are expecting for God that God hasn't done. But the answer was not no. The answer was not yet. But because it didn't materialize like we expected it, we've turned God's not yet into a no. You have to believe God. Don't doubt. The scripture says, if we ask anything in faith and we waver, the Bible says, let not that man expect to receive anything of the Lord. So if you ask, don't be double-minded. Believe God. Don't doubt. Amen? Psalms 22 is one of the greatest psalms of all. Because Psalms 22 is a messianic psalm. Amen. If you follow the psalm all the way through, when Jesus was on the cross, verse 1, David is going through something. Now he's not writing this psalm because everything was roses and peaches. He's writing this because he's going through something. So David, the sweet psalmist, says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus was on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, hallelujah, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And if we were to interpret that, it's my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This messianic psalm, from verse 1 to the end, portrays the Lord's suffering on the cross. But the skeptics say, well, I don't know if I believe the Bible or not. If you follow this psalm from beginning to end, David wrote this psalm almost 1,000 years before the crucifixion of Christ. But the psalm paints a whole portrait of the crucifixion from the beginning to the end. Amen. I'm not going to get into it right now, but let's just read a little further. Verse 2 says, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I am not. David was going through something. But he didn't stop praying. He didn't stop crying out to God. He said, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of. Now, I thought it was going to come out of this verse. Hallelujah. And the question I'm going to ask you, what do you do when things are bad for you? Amen. Do you praise God or do you complain? Do you give God a praise or do you just murmur and complain? The scripture said concerning the children of Israel, with many of them God was not well pleased because they murmured and complained in their difficulties in the wilderness. Hallelujah. The wilderness represents challenges. It represents hard times, but God still wants to praise. Because in your hard time, when you praise Him, the first thing He does when He inhabits the praises of Israel. Hallelujah. That was the natural Israel. The church is now the spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. So when we praise God, He comes into the midst of that praise and He dwells there. Hallelujah. So God, when you are praying, when you're going through a David trial, one of those trials where you say, Lord, I cry in the daytime and I cannot find. Lord, I cry in the afternoon and I still cannot find you. Lord, I cry in the night season and I cannot find you. When you're going through one of those things, you still got to praise Him. Because God said, I'm just watching you to see what you're going to do. Are you going to complain and murmur and displease me? Or are you going to bring me into the midst of what you're going through? When you praise God, when you're going through something, come in the midst of it. In the 46th division of Psalms, the Lord said, God is in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Because He's in the midst, He said, you won't be moved. Hallelujah. Anybody feel like something is moving you, you need to praise God. You need to lift up a praise and give God a thank you while you're going through. Somebody said, I cried and I cried. And I cried all night long. Hallelujah. I prayed and I prayed. And I prayed all night long. But my soul couldn't rest contented until I found the Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, you keep praying. You keep calling on God. You keep praising God.
Listen, we'll never be worthy. That's why I do the Lord.
Now, Jesus is our perfect example. But when Jesus said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? He was speaking out of humanity. He wasn't speaking out of his divinity. Because in divinity, he could have came out of the cross. Hallelujah. But the Bible said that he humbled himself and was obedient even unto death. Hallelujah. Then they just say, death took him. He said, you know what, death?
Don't let a friend, don't let anything stop you. Praise your
David is going through something, and it's amazing how 1,000 years before the crucifixion, Psalm 22 gives us the exact crucifixion to the letter, to the dot, to the I, to the punctuation. All the way from beginning to end is the crucifixion. So Jesus said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Verse 4, he says, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not." I don't know what you might be experiencing, but keep trusting God. Keep believing God. Don't believe a man. Don't believe anybody. I believe God. The scripture says, "Let God be true. Let God be true. And every man may." So if God has spoken, now listen, put all that stuff that people are telling you in your ear, put it out. Don't listen to anybody. All right, but it's time to say, like Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant here." If God has spoken something to your spirit, don't believe a man over God, because the scripture says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Some people say, "Well, I believe God, but just seem like things aren't working out like they should be, and I keep hearing these voices in my mind." A voice that tries to get you to doubt God is not God. Any voices to try to get you to doubt God is not God. Any voices that try to get you to hurt yourself is not God. Any voices to try to get you to get down in the valley of despondency and depression and oppression, that's not God. He said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it." So that voice that's speaking in your ear is not God. It's not God. The Bible says, "If any man add to or take away from the words that I speak to you," he said, "they will be found a liar." So you got to believe. Can we believe God? David was so bad in the situation he went to. He said, "You know what? I'm not even a man anymore." He said, "I am a. I'm a worm. And no man, a reproach of man, despised of God." The scripture says concerning Jesus, he was rejected and despised. "All that is see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Remember when Jesus was on the cross? They say, "If you be the Son of God, then you just calm down." They say, you healed others. You trusted God. Right? This is the crucifixion song. He said, "You healed others. You trust." He said, "You can come down. Now you do it." So what are you doing? They're scorning Jesus. They are mocking Jesus. How could 1,000 years before the crucifixion, the Psalms point such a perfect, paint such a perfect portrait of the crucifixion? Because God is real. I say God is real. And you're going to see as we follow this Psalm, not one thing failed in the Psalm. Amen. So just like when Jesus was there, they mocked him, saying, they mocked him, they scorned him, saying, "If you trust in God, let him deliver you." Trying to get him to come off the cross. But how many know, if the Lord wanted to, he could have came down. But he saw all of us, and he stayed there for us. The Lord suffered that cross for you and I. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Verse 9 says, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me whole when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God." He said, "You are my God." That's when you got to be personal. I don't know about who else God is, but he is my God. He is my God. Hallelujah. He said, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." He said, "Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me." Bulls represent strength. And what do we know about a bull? A bull has horns. So he's talking about the crucifixion. joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. He said, my strength is dried up like hay, and my tongue cleaved to my jaws, that thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Hallelujah. This is the portrait of Jesus. When he was there, the Bible says that everything began to come loose. The Lord shook. They even took a sponge with vinegar to try to help him out, but the Lord refused it. He suffered for you and I. So everything was out of joint. Everything was out of place. His tongue cleaved to the jaw. He was in the dust of death. You know what he said? He said, for dust I came, from earth dust I came, and for dust I shall return. Can we say thank you, Jesus? He said, for those who compass me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierce my hand and my 1,000 years before it even took place. They pierced my hand and they pierced my feet. When they crucified the Lord, what did they do? They pierced his hand and they pierced his feet. How can anybody doubt God? Hallelujah. When whatever he says comes to pass, can we say praise the Lord? He said, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lot for my vesture. Isn't that what they did to the Lord? I said, isn't that what they did to the Lord? He said, verse 19, he said, but be not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste to help me. He said, deliver my soul from the sword. Now the Lord knew that when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, he put what before the garden? A flaming sword. And what did that sword do? It protected the way back to the tree of life. So David, the psalmist, is seeing that the Lord is going to be crucified, and he said, deliver my soul from the sword. Because in his humanity, he didn't want to suffer. In his humanity, he didn't want to go through it. Hallelujah. But he knew that the only way for you and I to be saved is that he had to go past the flaming sword to get us back to the tree of life. Can we say thank you, Jesus? So the Lord is saying, deliver me from the sword, deliver me from the suffering, deliver me from the trial. Verse 21 says, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. He said, but through all of this, so can we look at somebody and say, through all of this? Come on, look at some, say it like you really believe it. Say, through all of this, through everything that I've been through all of my hard time, he said, I will declare thy name unto my brother in the midst of the congregation. He said, I'm still going to praise you. After I've gone through all of this, I still got a praise. The scripture said, not a one of his bones were broken.
Right.
How could the psalmist, 1,000 years before the crucifixion, paint such a perfect portrait? Because known unto God are all of his works from the beginning. And I heard the scripture say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was. Now, when you think of Jesus on the cross, when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, who told him that? Who told him to say, my God, where has thou forsaken me? In confirmation of the Sabbath, he was the Word. He was the Word. So you don't have to teach the Word what to say, because the Word was made flesh and dwelt. Anybody know the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? And the scripture said, we beheld his glory as the only glory. And then when you believe God, you got grace. Well, what's grace? Grace is God's help, as we all say. Grace is God's help when you, not when you want it. Amen. When you, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God bringeth them through them all. The Bible says concerning God, Elder Gibb, elders of the ministers come forward at this time. And I got a praise. I said, I got a praise. I don't care what I'm going through, I got a praise. I'm not going to let the devil in here. I'm not going to let anybody else stop me from praising my God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to listen to those whispers. Don't listen to the whispers, because that's not of God. You need victory, you need deliverance.